20 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Sean.
We should plan that out ahead of time. I'm Sean.
Yeah, I'm Josh.
Hey, guys.
And welcome back to the show.
Yeah, we're here. Hey, it's episode 20, like you said. That's a lot of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes. It is.
Well, Josh and I haven't been here for 20.
That's
true. I've been here for 5.
Is that what is it?
4?
No, this has got to be at least your 5th.
I think it's 5.
Okay.
5th anniversary. What's 5th anniversary? Wood?
Podcast.
Oh, perfect.
It's a podcast. I got you this podcast.
Oh, awesome.
Josh, what are you reading?
This week I started, I didn't read. I downloaded a audiobook, The Book of Five Rings. I never read it before. It's that really old Miyamoto Musashi book.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Wow. It's heavy, isn't it?
It's heavy. Yeah. It's real short. I feel like it's a book. I was like listening to it while I was like playing games and stuff. I feel like it's a book that like Mark Cuban would recommend you read.
Right.
Like, it's like real like.
You're at a business okay. Leadership conference, yeah. And the guy with the headset is like.
It's weird because it's like a lot of, because he was a Zen Buddhist, so it's a lot of like all that stuff I've read about that. But then it's like he'll just be like, and when you fight someone, you want to kill him. Like he's like it just.
All right. Who's doing the reading?
It sounds like a guy. It sounds like Chris Parnell. It's not, though. But he sounds exactly like Chris Parnell.
Because when I want to get motivated to kill my enemy, give me the voice of Dr. Spitchemin.
That's all right.
How'd you get turned on to that? Because I didn't recommend that.
I just never read it before, and I was like, eh, why not?
All right. Which is the best ring?
Water. That's the one where he talks about there. It's, you know, it's all the elements. It's.
I don't know. I played through that water temple. I don't think so.
So it's just Captain Planet,
right? Hard
Earth, Wind, Water.
Hard. It's gonna be hard at the end. It's gonna be the best one.
Sean, what are you reading?
Well, what I'm reading right now.
Oh boy.
Well, no, all right. So, if you guys listened last week, Josh challenged me to read Ernest Cline's follow up to Ready Player One, which is called Armada. And in the interest of full disclosure, I really did try to go into it with an open mind. I really wanted to see if, you know, Cline could stretch his legs. Because, you know, as it's come up on the show before, I'm not a big fan of Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Somehow, Armada is worse. It is more derivative, more masturbatory. It was a not good book.
It's written like a 12-year-old girl wrote it in her slam diary.
It's written like... Like, he just went to every different website and was like, I'm going to take that. Honestly, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I'd rather do, like,
we're
going to have to do a show down the road after it comes out.
It's still not out.
That's what I mean, yeah. Right. I want to, like, give it time for, like, the critical reaction to come out and see how it sells.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like, so that Zane doesn't have to listen to
listen to it anymore.
Maybe we kick her out for a week and we'll just do a show between me and me. I don't know.
No, you know what you don't have to.
Rage against that, internet.
Okay, all right. No, I was really in your...
We're doing you a favor.
I was going to say, it's in your best interest.
Yeah, you don't want to read it, trust me. If Sean and I could barely make it through, I don't think...
I have no plans to read it.
No, but that's what I meant. You don't plan to read it, but I don't know that we would really enjoy listening to Josh and I
All I heard was, Zane, we don't want you around for a week.
That's not what I said.
Anyway, Zane, what are you reading?
Wait, that's what I did read. What I'm reading now, I'm sticking with sci-fi, and I'm sticking with an author who would be right after Ernest Cline on the shelf. It's a guy named Peter Kleins. Seriously. And the book is called The Fold.
Okay.
And it's about...
Origami.
No, it's about DARPA, you know, the defense... Like,
oh, yeah,
it's like the black level defense program.
Majestic 12.
That start out to build... They start out trying to build a matter transporter and essentially end up building, like back into a Stargate. Like,
that's cool.
Like, it transports matter...
That sounds awesome.
Just instantly, but not like... It doesn't take it apart and put it back together again. Like, you just step through a door and you're somewhere else. That's all I really know about it so far, because I'm only like 60 pages into it. It's good.
Is this book out already?
Yeah, it came out last week, and I saw it, and then they gave me a comped copy of it.
Swimming in books.
Thanks, Random House. But I'm really digging it. It's good. So if you're into sci-fi, I mean, I'll probably have a full report next week. Hey, Zane.
How long is it?
It's 250, 300 pages.
Ow.
Give or take.
Ow.
Yeah. Not the 400 pages of Armada. Which, we'll get into it. Zane, what are you reading?
I finished A Head Full of Ghosts off of your recommendation, Sean, by Paul Tremblay, and it was really, really good.
Right?
It was really good. In fact, it was so good that it kind of made me think, like, when was the last time I actively enjoyed reading a book this much? Like, I've liked all the last books that I've read for the most part, but not like this. It was really well written. I loved it.
You said you, like, stayed awake and read it, like...
Yeah, it was one of those books where, like, not because it's so exciting, per se, but it was just like, I want to find out. I want to keep going.
Yeah,
that's
great.
I need to get to the end.
He'll, like, take you up to a point at the end of a chapter and be like, okay, chapter break, and it's like...
No, we're not done here.
Yeah.
For me, there was no pause. Like, at the end of a chapter, it's just like, flip the page, keep going. It was awesome. It was really sad. It was really scary, but it was awesome. I would absolutely recommend it.
Josh, do you
want to
borrow it? Like, oh, you're doing your Five Rings thing.
I'll read it.
Okay.
The Five Rings is,
I don't know. It's not really a particularly hard read, although it's maybe hard, like, emotionally.
Yeah.
I don't have any of those.
But, I mean, it took me maybe 2 days to read.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I just didn't want
to
put it down.
I'll read it.
It took me longer than that to read, just because, Daniel, you'll get this. As a father, it was really hard to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it about a little girl?
It's about two little girls. About two sisters.
And one of them's
I know
haunted.
For me, as a father, you know, it was very...
Congratulations!
Thank you.
So did you start anything else?
No. Because I was waiting for the next book that you gave me.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it's The Girl with All the Gifts by Carrie. Mike Carrie, I think his name is.
Yeah, M.R. Carey.
Yeah, M.R. Carey, The Girl with All the Gifts, which I honestly don't want to tell you too much about, because part of the fun of that book is, like, the discovery of it. But the reason I picked it up in the first place is because there's a quote on the cover from Joss Whedon that says, heartfelt and painfully human. And I was like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, well, Joss Whedon recommends reading it because it's painfully human. I can give it a shot. Because if anybody gets, you know, like, characters, especially female characters, I think Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
And Joss, if you're listening, as I'm sure you are, you did steer me wrong on this one, buddy. So,
go work.
I'll see you on the set of the Avengers next movie.
85.
He's not doing the next one.
No, but he'll be there. He's
will he?
Yeah, he's doing craft services.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What a
Sean
demotion.
Is the inside scoop.
Yeah. My friends at Random House told me. My people at HarperCollins told me about craft services. It's true. You can check it out. All right, cool. So we've got a great show for you this week, I hope. And we're just going to get into...
It's always a great show.
Yeah, but this week is the best yet.
Well... Because it's the newest.
Until next, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Until next week.
So, tonight's topic is based off of a listener suggestion, isn't
it? Yeah, it's from at David Dean, who asked us what books we loved as children.
Cool.
So I have a lot to talk about.
I have a lot to talk about, too, and I did some crowdsourcing, too. So, let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll talk about books we loved as a kid on Cracking the Spot.
Follow us on Twitter at Cracking Spine, like us on Facebook, make sure to rate us on iTunes or Android, and send us your feedback. Email us at crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
Cracking the Spine, episode 20. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I am Josh.
Hey, we planned it out perfectly that time.
We went counterclockwise.
So like we mentioned before the break, we're going to talk this week about the books that we read when we were kids.
Yeah.
And thank you to
David Dean.
David Dean for the suggestion.
That's a made-up name, by the way.
So, you know, it's like books you read that when you were a kid. Like, huge, broad topic, right?
Yeah.
Like, where do you start?
Yeah.
So Zane, start.
Okay.
See what I did there? That's called delegating.
Well, I made a list of books that stuck with me as a kid, although as I sat here through the day, I kind of kept adding to it,
right?
Because there was a lot. And then I also made a list of books that I felt like all the other kids read that I didn't. Like,
okay.
I just never got to, / maybe read and didn't really like.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was pretty broad.
Number one.
So no, I mean, like, let's start it. Like, I don't know. We could almost do it like chronologically. Like,
yeah.
Like my earliest memories, you know, like Dr. Seuss, obviously.
Yeah.
Frog and Toad.
Like, Frog and Toad is awesome.
Still, like to this day, like I read Frog and Toad to my kids. Like,
yeah.
That stuff is great. Arnold Lobel's Frog and Toad.
Those books with the scriggly little bear hamster people, and they have like a little spider. I don't remember the name of them.
Do you mean the Richard Scarry books?
Yeah, the Richard Scarry books with the there's a little spider in every page.
Goldbug. Goldbug's on every page.
Yeah. Goldbug, yeah. Right? Oh, that's weird.
That is weird.
That's weird. That's weird.
it'll come up in a book you're gonna there's a Richard Scarry reference in Head Full of Ghosts.
Didn't he also do Mr. Happy?
No, different guy.
That's Richard Hargrave.
Boom!
Really? Josh knew something.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
We don't carry those books. Check that.
Wow,
later.
I definitely have to fact check that during the break.
I may have known that because we wrote it into something we did one time.
My kindergarten classroom, I remember, had like a whole wall, like two walls, like all along the top on both sides of the chalkboard, and it was all of them. And I always like Mr. Tickle because Mr. Tickle had those like crazy long like snake arms that went all around.
I don't remember Mr. Tickle.
Did I just make that up?
No.
I think there was a Mr. Tickle.
There was like a million of them.
My husband has all of those books.
Does he really?
Yeah, he has a whole collection of them.
Please let me borrow them.
Maybe someday he can read.
What?
Klaxon time.
Hey, Dan.
Does he listen?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Dan. Sorry. and then Richard Scarry's Busy Town and Dr. Seuss.
Professor Wormbug.
That was Mercer Mayer, right?
Yeah.
See, I didn't do Professor Wormbug, Mercer Mayer. I did the Little Critter, so it was like me and books, like me and my dad, me and my sister.
Yeah.
Just a Rainy Day, those books. Yeah, those books. Mercer Mayer, another one of those like just iconic.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, like I did, I went down the mystery road.
I didn't like reading.
Okay.
Until I was like 11.
Okay.
Okay.
My mom made me. She didn't force me, maybe she did, read The Boxcar Children.
Okay.
Which, boy, I love reading about hobo kids making stoves in a train.
Weren't they written in, like, the 30s and 40s? Yeah,
they're really, like, boring.
They still publish those?
Inspiring kids across the nation to eat beans out of a can.
Yeah.
They still publish those? And, like, grandparents will come in and, like, do you have The Boxcar Children? I want to get them for my grandchildren.
That was the only books that existed in the 30s. Right? Because paper was like, people were eating
for the war, yeah. We didn't want the Kaiser to get all our paper.
The Kaiser.
We actually, in my grade school library, we had a series called Alfred Hitchcock's Three Investigators.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a ripoff Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
But they,
it was more stabbing and shower.
No. It was like mysteries. There was, I remember Jupiter Jones was the lead guy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And they lived in Hollywood. And Jupiter Jones' aunt, he lived with his aunt and uncle, I think because his parents died.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in a junkyard. And I remember like their office was in a trailer that was buried under trash. And they had to go through, like, tunnels to get to it.
I remember.
And they had their own phone line for their three investigators' business.
Jeez.
And, like, there were 15 of them.
Yeah.
And I thought I was the coolest kid in the world. And then I, like left that grade school and found out that those books had been written, like, in the 50s.
Yeah. Phone lines?
Yeah, like, rotary. Like, rotary. Dude, it was, like, I love those books. And then there's that weird thing of when you're a kid and it's, like, this is a book that the whole world knows about, right? Mm. Like, I'm reading this, therefore it's a shared experience.
Everyone knows about it.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
I go to, like, my dad would be like, Dad, you know these books? I don't know anything about that. I wonder if you could find those books. I don't think they're in print anymore.
They're not here?
No, we don't have them.
In this, where they can't see because it's a podcast, but we're
Josh is looking around at the 7,900 square foot bookstore that surrounds him.
And it's creepy spooky.
We have the lights off. It's closed.
That's how we do podcasts.
But Zane, you said you had a list.
I have a whole list.
That's crazy.
I mean, don't read them off, but like.
Well, I was looking through, because I wrote down like Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah,
I was trying to think
that's
of,
my shit.
I've never read that.
I read a lot of books, which we've touched on before. I read a lot of books when I was younger that like were way over my head.
Right.
Like, because they were just available to me. So I was trying to think of books that were actually like youth-oriented books that I read and liked as a kid. And Bridge to Terabithia was definitely one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, God, Wrinkle in Time.
See, I hated The Wrinkle in Time when I read it. I was forced to read it. I was in this, like, gifted program, and it was, like, sixth grade. And all I remember is being really terrified of that, like, griffin thing on the front cover.
Yeah.
Like,
I know exactly what cover.
For, like, 45 years, that was the cover for that book, and it was like, what? Why?
Well, A Wrinkle in Time is one of those books, it's so cool when you're little, and it is a really cool book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like reading C.S. Lewis as a kid. You're like, this is so cool! And then as an adult, you're like, that's all about Jesus.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of can't go back and read Wrinkle in Time without, like, seeing all of the allegories, religious themes. Yeah.
Charlotte's Web, same thing.
Yeah.
Loved that book as a kid.
Yeah.
And then you go back and it's like, oh, yeah, it's just the Christ metaphor.
Yeah. Yep. But I did really like Wrinkle in Time, and I still like it for the strong female protagonist, which you don't find as, or you didn't, like, back when that book came out, especially.
Well, all the men had to go to war.
Well, but it's just cool because, like, consistently through the book, Meg Murray is, like, the strongest one of the group, clearly. Yeah. And they have, like, she's the one who has to save her father.
Is it her brother there or something?
Yeah, her brother's there. Her little brother's there. And, in fact, the book kind of, like, her little brother's there, and he can sometimes read her mind.
Yeah,
you start out like he's gonna be the powerful one, and then she is, and like as a kid to see a female protagonist
it's awesome.
Do that is super rad, or it was for me.
I always felt that way kind of about Bridge to Terabithia, like
you
get the sense that she's the more interesting
Absolutely
part of that relationship.
She's the creative one for sure.
I'm gonna have to read it.
You can still read
it's
that
it's really
book.
Good
yeah okay
it's sad speaking of sad books
okay
it's I think it's what, I always say, like, seriously, it's, like, what shaped my, like, thought about living, my life thoughts, my, existence,
well,
you know?
Your worldview.
That book is kind of interesting, especially to bookend with something like Wrinkle in Time, because, like, Wrinkle in Time classically gets criticized for being, like, maybe too Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bridge to Terabithia gets criticized for being, like, too atheistic.
Yeah,
like, interesting.
But I was going down this list and, you know,
cheating,
like,
off of your list
here. Tuck Everlasting was on there.
Oh, no, I never read that.
Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury. Mm-hmm. And I was realizing that a lot of these books that I liked growing up were about, like, not just coming of age, but specifically, like, the fear of aging.
Okay.
Really? That's interesting.
Well, I was just
it's
realizing
that becomes,
it today.
That becomes like a motif for kids reading.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, and like I was even going through, like I really liked Virgin Suicides.
Okay.
You read that when you were a kid?
Yeah, it's like a teen
book.
Well,
teenage, yeah.
Yeah.
Young
I was sort of counting stuff before I was 18.
That's sort of, I kind of did a crowdsourcing thing on Facebook that was like, you know, what were your favorite books as a kid? And I said, like, before the age of 18.
Right.
So I ended up, like, I got a lot of, like, Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah. Although Bridge to Terabithia you could read in, like, 5th and 6th grade.
I think
grade
I read it in, like, 4th grade, I think.
The one I got a lot of, did you guys ever read The Phantom Tollbooth?
No,
I never read, that's on my list of stuff that I never got into.
Oh, dude, that's one of those ones. You could read that now. Oh, but it's such a great story, yeah. I actually got that one a lot. And I got a lot of people were mentioning Roald Dahl books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the BFG or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I never really got into them.
What's the one with the chocolate? Not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. There's a book where the kid, it's the Midas touch. He's Midas, but he turns everyone into chocolate.
Oh, I remember that.
I know exactly.
I don't remember what it's called.
I think it might just be called The Chocolate Touch.
He drinks out of the water fountain and then turns to chocolate milk.
It's not Super Fudge, is it?
No,
no
Super Fudge.
That's different.
I did read Super Fudge, and I read Ali Baba Bernstein. Remember that?
No.
He's like it's kind of like a Super Fudge esque, where it's like this kid and he lives with his mom and it's a single mom. And
dude, speaking of which, just like, you know, if I can do that bookstore brag thing that I do. So what was it? 2 weeks ago, we hosted Judy Blume.
Yeah.
Like not in the shop. Like she was through the shop.
Yeah.
Like she stayed in Doylestown. But we hosted it at an auditorium at a middle school. Oh my God, dude! The woman is 77 years old. She is living with cancer.
Yeah.
She was like 500 people. You would have guessed that every single one of them was the first person she ever met who read her books.
Yeah.
Like she is just like everybody's sweet grandmother. She is exactly who you think Judy Blume is.
Well, she used to, because she she especially wrote all of those like coming of age books and was really honest in writing and everything. And she has said before that she gets letters from people all the time that like basically from kids that ask her for advice, life advice.
Right.
And she writes them back.
She said that. That's awesome. She said like, especially now in the era, because she's on Twitter. Like, I can't imagine Judy Blume using Twitter, but she does. Like, well, no, she, again, like, it's like trying to teach your grandmother how to like set her DVR. But like,
if your grandmother was Judy Blume.
She says she's still, like, if you take the time to actually physically write her out a letter, she's like, and she did this whole thing. She was like, pick up your pen, write the letter, fold it up, put it in an envelope, lick the envelope, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
She still writes back to all of her fans.
Yeah, she does.
That's crazy.
Right?
She's awesome.
And she, like, you know, when you think about how pedestrian, kind of, her books are in terms of subject matter, compared to some of the stuff that's coming out now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she was controversial for
her time.
She
was
very controversial. Like you said, like, she was writing very frank stuff.
Brutally honest stuff about... like, especially for girls, again, you know, what it's like to be a preteen girl, which is like, basically a nightmare,
like,
you know, and she
50s,
was writing very frank stuff about
talking
it.
About menstruation in the 50s, like, that was a no-no.
And, like,
women
masturbation
didn't, like,
and stuff like that, like, Judy Blume went there.
Yeah,
you know?
and we're, I think we're all the better for it,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely we are.
I was always actually, you know, if we can go in, you know, more, I was more of a Beverly Cleary kid growing up. Like, I really, I loved, in fact, it was on my staff picks last time, The Mouse and the Motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Dude, where's my, like, CG adaptation of that story?
Mouse and the Motorcycle was great.
Like, somehow I, like, I'd read that story and be like, dude, I want to be Ralph Mouse.
Yeah, you wanted to ride
on a motorcycle.
And then you got to take the aspirin to the kid in the ambulance. And
I
want a
ping pong,
drive.
I want a ping pong ball helmet, and I want to go.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. That's gas.
Yeah.
I saw Mad Max.
Yeah.
Speaking of... story sort of in that vein, did either of you guys get into either like Watership Down or the Redwall series?
No. Redwall always interests me, but Redwall has that same thing going on that a lot of series have where there's like
too many.
There's Redwall and there's Fires of Redwall and there's like the Demons of Red. There's so many stories and so many storylines. It's like what we talked about with graphic novels. Like, where do you start?
I remember growing up, all of my guy friends read the Redwall books like they were going out of style. Like, that
was
like
the medieval mice, right? Isn't that the thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
What, like that episode of Tom and Jerry?
The Three Musketeers?
The Three Musketeers.
Touché, pussycat!
Pussycat!
But then, like, you know, as I got older, as I brought up before, I got into Stephen King.
Yeah,
you dove right in.
I basically went from Beverly Cleary right to Stephen King and Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
You're
like a reading prodigy. I had a lot of, like, resistance to reading.
That's not true, because for a long time I had a lot of resistance to reading, too. Like, I had to be forced to read.
It takes a long time when you're, like, especially when you're, like, a preteen or even just a teenager, to figure out what you like in books.
Yeah.
And it's, sometimes it's hard to, like, read a book and be like, I don't like that. I need to find something different to read.
And
like, sometimes
also,
as a kid, it's like, I don't like that. I just don't like reading.
There's this pressure to, like, you feel like you should like and read the stuff that other people are reading and that they like. And I think that, like, that's an impediment, you know?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't know. I always sort of was, like, just contrarian about it. My mom was a big reader, and I was a big movie person.
Right.
So I was more like, I just watch movies, you know? But, like, reading, for me, like, didn't come really naturally until I was, like, maybe 17 or 18, and I started reading, like, Metamorphosis, and I read, like, Dante, and I was like, this is crazy, this stuff, you know?
The kid who grew up across the street from me, his name was Drew Pigeon. He was my best friend growing up. And I think sort of, like, just best friends by convenience. Like, we lived across the street in one house over from each other. Drew's parents, like, every Saturday and Sunday afternoon, like, he had to come in for an hour every day and read.
See, that would have been horrible.
That's why I feel like him having to do that turned me off of it.
Yeah.
I was like, that sounds like a chore. That sounds like, come in,
fun.
Clean your room, mop the floor, and then read a book.
Yeah.
And I get what they were trying to do, but like, it's like,
no,
it's a little heavy handed. Yeah.
It's weird to me because like every day now, because of the internet, you just read anyway.
Right.
I read all day.
Yeah.
Because the internet is all day. Right. Like, so it's not like this like muscle you don't use. you might not be reading, like, a story, but I don't think people saw that coming. They didn't see that, like, you know, obviously if they knew the internet was gonna...
Well, and even, I remember being little, like, you were considered a better person if you sat down and read the newspaper.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's, you even know, now, like, I read lots of news.
Right.
Again, yeah. Because right. I read it online. I don't have to sit down and read the newspaper. Mm. I actually remember in high school, my freshman history class, we had to, every... day we had to read an article in the newspaper
with your socks, with your sock garter.
My sock garter.
And you were like,
no, but it was like, I think it was,
well, no, but now
it was supposed to be like, you have to stay connected, you have to stay aware, but like that was, I mean, like that would have been 2000,
but like 90% like 90% of coffee shop conversations now start with, I read this article.
Yeah,
like everything is just citing articles and blog posts, and
it's almost too much. I mean,
it is almost too much because you can't. There's no way you can retain all that.
Well, yeah. And then in people, I think this is kind of like an off topic. People get into the world pain now. Like,
yeah.
I read this thing where this kid fell in a well and their parents locked him down there and he died, and it's like. All that stuff is like emotionally like ruining.
Like it happened to you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, stop reading the freaking internet for a day.
What other books come to mind? Like, were there books that you guys were thinking of that you wanted to like give a shout out to, basically?
Hatchet.
By Gary Paulson.
Hatchet. Don't you bring up Hatchet.
And
don't you bring that up.
And My Side of the Mountain, where, and I think that's for me, I really like those books because My Side of the Mountain is a kid goes, I don't know if he's an orphan.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
I don't remember the exact reason he does this, but he goes into the woods and he hollows out a tree and he like lives in this tree and he like gets a falcon friend and he like trains the falcon.
I did read that.
Dude, that
totally
sounds like something I would have loved as a kid.
It's great.
That was the better Hatchet.
Yeah, it's the better Hatchet.
Yeah. Dude. I remember thinking that when I read it. That was the good Hatchet.
If, yep. If I can give a shout out,
yeah.
S.E. Hinton's The Outsiders.
Outsiders. Yeah,
dude, like that was, I feel like that was probably the first.
See, I read The Outsiders, but it didn't like have an effect on me.
Don't take this the wrong way. You're not a guy.
Cherry Mustangs.
It was a boy. It was a boy. Like I don't do this very often. It was a boy. I don't know if it is now, but it was a boy.
That's kind of how I feel about like Little Women.
Right.
Like I still love Little Women. It is so
freaking good. Do they drive Mustangs?
Freaking good. Yeah, they do.
They ride them.
They ride Mustangs.
They ride them.
But I feel like a lot of the guys that I talk to, like they know that it's supposed to be a good book, but they're just not into Little Women. But
right. I've actually never read it.
I never read it.
Well, the coolest thing about Little Women is that. Like, how can it be so relevant to me when it's about these characters so long ago, during the Civil War?
Well, that's how I feel about The Outsiders. I mean, The Outsiders was like, you know, it was the poor side of town going up against the kids that went to the country club.
The socias.
And I was neither of those growing up. I mean, you know, I smoked, but I also belonged to a private swim club. So, like, I was on both sides of that. But it was like, you end up identifying, like it's that thing you do at childhood where you have to, like, search for your identity. And it's really easy to glom onto something that's in a work of fiction because it's so, like, it's so personal.
When you're a kid, too, I loved, like, Arthurian legend. Uh-huh. I loved, like, get the sword, go adventure.
Did you read The Crystal Cave?
No, I never did.
You should. You would love it. It's about Merlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Merlin.
It's about Merlin's, like, as a kid, like, coming of age.
That's cool.
One more shot. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. It's okay. I was just telling Josh about The Crystal Cave.
I'm going to read that.
Mary Stewart, right?
Yeah, Mary Stewart. And it's a whole series. But it's about how him like laying like the groundwork for Arthur.
I think that's we would cool. be remiss if we did not mention the Choose Your Own Adventures.
Oh my God.
the only books that I can think of that were written in the second person.
The Choose Your Own Adventures.
You enter a room. Like it's basically like
they were awesome.
It's the precursor to video games, right? Like
I liked reading them straight through.
It's like text based video games.
I liked reading them backwards. Like like find the ending where you win. Like, all right, how am I gonna get here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How can I beat the book?
Those books were so good.
I never got into the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Really?
I always
made like a bad decision. I think I started reading them straight through because I'd make the first bad decision and be like, you died, the end.
Dude, I got
was
one.
Like, no!
I remember Santa gave me one for Christmas one year.
Santa!
Yeah, dude. Gave it to me.
Whoa.
And it was like a super size Choose Your Own Adventure, and it was called Journey to the Year 3000.
What?
And it was like 400 pages. Dude. It was like, there were like a million different possibilities.
Oh my God.
So, so good.
I'm trying to think of more. I mean, there were so many, lots of Star Wars books. I think Ken Anderson was the author of.
When were you reading Star Wars books?
The Young Jedi Knight.
Yeah. Like high school you were doing that?
That was middle school for me. Oh, that was like 95.
Yeah, you're younger than I am.
Yeah. I know I don't seem it. I'm very mature for my age. But.
But you were talking about books that sort of like, that you glom onto that are like speak to like one particular facet.
Well, I always I go back to it because it was very seminal for me, and we've talked about this on the show before, how because it like it's basically split into two halves. Mm-hmm. It's them as kids and them as adults, and you start reading it and you're like, oh man, this is a kid's book.
Yeah, right. Or
not,
exactly. I
mean, it's not a kid's book.
No, but you're like, this is about me.
This is a book about children. Yeah. Like, a bad thing is going to happen to children. Yeah. And, like, you know, you don't realize until you get older that it's really about, like, looking back on that. Right. Because it's written, you know, he captures childhood so well. I mean, just look at Stand By Me, which was The Body, the short story. Mm-hmm. Like, capture that idea of capturing the innocence and the fear that is childhood, man, that like it grabbed me at exactly the right time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would give, you know, when my daughter's in fourth grade, I don't know if I'm going to give her it.
But we all read down here, Ren.
But if she picks it up, she can, I mean, I don't care. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, as long as she's reading and not, like,
well, that's heroin. I mean, it's not at all the same because it wasn't
those
it.
Are opposites, but, right?
I read Perks of Being a Wallflower when I was in middle school, and it was, like, very significant.
I've never read that.
I don't know that you could go back as an adult and appreciate it in the same way.
Yeah.
But reading it as a middle schooler, and it's about, like, again, it's coming of age, and it's being an outsider and a loner and finding friends. But I think what struck me was that it was sort of about music and, like, finding friends through, like, bands that you love and making mixtapes and stuff like that.
There's nothing more 90s than, well, exactly. than that idea.
So, like, for me, it was like, this is relevant to me. This makes sense for me. And it's still, like, that book is beautiful.
Yeah. I've never read that either.
I love it.
I'm trying to think of more.
There's so many. And you know what? At this point, I'm going to toss it out because this was a, like, you know, like we said earlier.
I didn't even get into my horse books.
Is it the pony book from last week?
No.
And then he melted into the tree. Woods. So good. But again, thanks, David Dean. And listeners,
thank you.
What were your favorite books as a kid? I feel like this is something that we could revisit, like, over and over again.
Absolutely.
We could talk about any one of these books for an entire episode.
Seriously, I could just go, okay, like, sixth grade. What did you read in sixth grade?
Yeah. The Pearl.
So if you're listening, you know, hit us up on any of the areas we mentioned before on how to get to us. Let us know what you want.
I'm just laughing at you.
Okay. let us know what you read, you know, what you're going to, what would you give your kids to read? Cool. So let's take a little break right now. And we'll be right back with some more Cracking the Spine.
Welcome back to Cracking the Spine. This has been episode 20. I am Josh.
I am Sean.
I'm Zane.
So thank you again, David Dean, for giving us the awesome suggestion. And as always, listeners, if you have suggestions for show topics, toss them out. We could always use them.
Absolutely.
Don't toss them out. Send them to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Toss them out there.
Out into the ether.
Thank you for making sure that was clear.
It's a very serious part of the show.
No, it was very, they didn't know what to do. They would just write it down on a piece of paper.
All right.
Don't assume.
So, guys, I have surprise presents again.
Oh, come on. I hope it's for me.
It's for both of you.
I'm not sharing.
I have a present for both of you.
Good.
I do. So, this is something that we got from Random House. I think you guys will really appreciate.
Okay.
And they're for one for each of you.
Oh, an Ernest Cline Armada sticker.
They're stickers. They're round stickers with the cover artwork of Armada.
Enlist at armada.com.
There it
is. Armadabook.com.
Sorry.
I wouldn't mind if you gave out the
Josh
wrong URL.
Josh doesn't have his glasses on.
So I gave them some beautiful Ernest Cline Armada stickers.
Thanks, Sean.
No problem, which I think is going to really nicely help set up this week's dramatic reading.
Thanks for giving me your trash, Sean.
Wow.
To throw away.
I'm so glad I give you presents because you're so appreciative of them.
I see through your ruse.
It was a setup.
I don't know what to do with these. I better give them to Zane.
Honestly, I would not have a problem getting rid of those to customers. I gave them to you because it was going to be setting up. Last week, if you listened, we started a new thing.
Yeah.
Where we're doing readings from great works of literature.
Yeah.
Great works.
Last week was the seminal Magic Ponies.
Yes.
And this week, we're going to be bringing you another great work of literature. But first, let's go ahead and say goodbye, because I like to end the show and then
with the great work.
No, the great work almost becomes like a postscript, like it's like an afterthought. Like, you don't have to listen to that part of the show if you don't want to.
You should,
right?
But you should.
It's like the prize in the bottom of your cereal. You're still getting the nutrients, but you don't necessarily need the train whistle.
Nutrients in my cereal.
The train whistle. There's
nutrients in cereal. All
right.
When did you grow up?
In the 80s. Honeycomb. I don't think anybody would get honeycomb license plate.
Oh, I knew about honeycomb license plate you put on your bike.
Yeah. All right, we'll save that for another week.
Anyway, this has been another exciting adventure with Cracking the Spine.
We'll talk more next week. Thanks, guys.
And now, Cracking the Spine presents a dramatic reading. Here is Sean reading Ready Player One by Ernest Cline.
Page 183. Entering the distracted globe was more than a little disorienting. The inside of the giant sphere was completely hollow, and its curved interior surface served as the club's bar and lounge area. The moment you passed through the entrance, the laws of gravity changed. No matter where you walked, your avatar's feet always adhered to the interior of the sphere, so you could walk in a straight line up to the, quote, top of the club, then back down to the other side, ending right back where you started. The huge open space in the center of the sphere served as the club's zero-gravity, quote, dance floor. You reached it simply by jumping off the ground like Superman taking flight, and then swimming through the air into the spherical zero-G, quote, groove zone.
Oh, boy.
As I stepped through the entrance, I glanced up, or in the direction that was currently, quote, up to me at the moment, and took a long look around. The place was packed. Hundreds of avatars milled around like ants crawling around the inside of a giant balloon.
What a great simile.
Others were already out on the dance floor, spinning, flying, twisting, and tumbling in time with the music, which thumped out of the floating spherical speakers that drifted throughout the club.
Here it comes.
In the middle of all the dancers, a large, clear bubble was suspended in space at the absolute center of the club. This was the, quote, booth, where the DJ stood, surrounded by turntables, mixers, decks, and dials. At the center of all that gear was the opening DJ, R2-D2.
Oh my god.
Hard at work, using his various robotic arms to work the turntables. I recognized the tune he was playing, the 88 remix of New Order's, quote, Blue Monday. With a lot of Star Wars droid sound samples mixed in.
Oh my god.
As I made my way to the nearest bar, the avatars I passed all stopped to stare and point in my direction. I didn't pay them much notice because I was busy scanning the club for Art Threemis. When I reached the bar, I ordered a pan-galactic gargle blaster from the female Klingon bartender and downed half of it. Then I grinned as R2 queued up another classic 80s tune. Union of the Snake, I recited, mostly out of habit. Duran Duran, 1983. Not bad, Ace, said a familiar voice, speaking just loud enough to be heard over the music. I turned to see Art Threemis standing behind me. She was wearing evening attire, a gunmetal blue dress that looked like it was spray painted on.
Oh, I can see all of her boobies.
Her avatar's dark hair was styled in a pageboy cut, perfectly framing her gorgeous face. She looked devastating.
Well, if she wasn't pretty, what would she be?
She shouted at the barkeep, Glenmorange, on the rocks! I smiled to myself. Connor McLeod's favorite drink. Man, did I love this girl. And that, my friends, is the genius of one Ernest Klein.
And that has been another dramatic reading from Cracking the Spine.
What a pile of shit.